This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is a Wednesday edition. I think it's Wednesday. You get thrown off with the holidays of the Mark Reardon Show. Everyone's trying to get a little comfortable in here. I don't know if you noticed this, Sue. I think you have, but we have some different chair options in the room. Have you noticed that?
I got the email. Oh.
Yeah, I don't really read the emails. Let's see what it says here. We've added a couple of new chairs to the studio to get us through until the official upgrade.
Well, I'm switching right now.
I didn't even know there was an official upgrade. It says, hopefully before the end of the year, feel free to use whichever chairs you prefer, but please keep the existing chairs in the studio so everyone has options based on their preference.
Ooh, it's lighter.
Okay, so I have not sat. You know I'm very particular about the chair.
Yes, I do.
Right? It's the one that has like the flat handles. And if we're being honest with the audience who really does not care about this, all the chairs in the studio are just, they're kind of a disaster, right?
Well, they are. Mine was holding on by four threads, but I thought, you know, I want to be the one who falls through.
All right, let's see. I'm going to
try that one. It looks like it's got flat arms.
It is really light. It's very aerodynamically light, right?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah, see?
I think I could do, but these aren't even the upgrade ones, right?
No, these are pre-upgrade.
Here's what I would say.
Uh-huh.
In the chair power rankings for the room, my chair is still the best. I'm going back to that, okay?
Really?
But yeah, I'm just more comfortable. It's just a little softer in the seat. But then the second power-ranked chair would be the new one.
Yeah, it's really good.
I hate all the other ones.
You know,
I have for a long
goodness,
time.
I thought this was going to be the main focus of the entire opening monologue. Sounds like it isn't.
Well, I don't know about that. It's early, Fred. I just started it. I could keep going on about the chairs if you want me to, but I do have some other stuff that I want to get to here this afternoon. I got to start with this just because it's comical, and I guess that when she says something like this, people on MSNBC will believe it, because we're coming now, no matter what you think of Trump, we have a lot of people who listen who hate Trump, and I hear from them sometimes. They still listen. I have people who listen who are Democrats. They're not fans of Trump. They may not have Trump derangement syndrome, whatever the case may be. But you know, one of the things that we do here is we call balls and strikes, or I call balls and strikes. And I'm not afraid to call a strike on Trump if he does something that I'm not a particular fan of. And that happens, it happens every day, let's be honest with me. It's just that the good outweighs the bad on most days. But no, I bring it up because Jen Psaki, remember Jen Psaki? She was there before KJP in the briefing room.
Yeah.
And she, of the bright red hair, went on to MSNBC. I think she wrote a book. Fred, did she write a book? She might have. I thought she
probably
did. So if you go back, and this is a theme that I have actually explored with guests over the last 3 days. You go back to last week, and you can go to any week, really. You really can. But let's just take last week in particular. Trump was on TV every day, like three times a day, talking with, he had the president of South Korea there. He's up there. He's taking questions. There was one day, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday of last week, that he literally was on TV three times doing an event. And each one of those times, he took questions.
Each one lasting about 45 minutes.
Right. Wow. Right. So, and he does this on a regular basis. Now, he did it today. He had the president of Poland in today, and he did a news conference with the president of Poland. So I've admitted before that, you know, I think this is healthy. I don't know, you guys probably do this too, but when I leave like on a holiday weekend or Friday at 5 or 6, I guess I have to leave at 6, right? Can't leave
yes,
at 5
that,
like everyone
that'd be
else.
Better.
I don't sit there and you know, watch the X, formerly Twitter, or pay attention to all the news shows and everything. And I kind of start to get caught up again Sunday night and Monday morning. So I didn't even realize that there was this thing after Friday where Trump kind of goes silent because it's a holiday weekend, right? And then there's, you know, you might have heard this yesterday. We addressed this. There was rumors of his death, which was
what?
Weird. Yeah.
So I mean, I heard that, but I thought, why would you, like, nobody would cover that? I mean, what?
Well, of course. But then Jen Psaki, and see, this is why I think she gets away with it, because what I'm about to play to you is just so ridiculous. And it's not, it has nothing to do with what side of the aisle you're on, because it's just patently false. There is no truth to this whatsoever.
Look, we may never know why Donald Trump's suddenly spent a week hiding entirely from the American public.
What?
But you don't actually need baseless online conspiracies to explain why he might not want to show his face in public right now. I mean, for starters, there's the polling, and boy, is it brutal. Oh, then there's the reaction to
not
Trump
really.
Playing out in the streets out there. Or maybe it's because he started to realize that his campaign to intimidate blue state governors is not working. So maybe the biggest reason Trump has been so shy recently is that a lot of this pushback appears to be working.
What is she smoking? Because I want some of it. What are you talking about? Why he has not been shy? That's one thing you cannot accuse the president of being. Now, did he go silent a couple of days during a holiday weekend?
Yep.
Joe Biden was silent for 4 years. 4 years drooling on himself. And by the way, you were up there lying to the American
yes.
people in the first couple of years of that, or at least a year and a half. That's stunning to me that that's like a real clip. There are so many things that happened, Fred, and I heard that. I'm like, what in the hell is she talking about? Again, it's not, this is not, you know, subjective at all. There, I don't care who you are. You go and you create a little, you know, chart or a graph, if you will, of Trump's media appearances, and he ain't shy. That's the one thing that you can say. So that's just kind of amazing to me that that's out there. Now, you know who Malcolm Gladwell is?
No.
You would know him. He wrote this book called The Tipping Point. Blink, really, really smart guy. And he was, you know, our friend John Ziegler. John is a guest on a regular basis, and he goes down this because this is his thing. And he's, you know, done a podcast about Jerry Sandusky at Penn State and how the media got so many of those facts wrong. And I'm in John's camp because I've listened to his podcast. But Malcolm Gladwell is also in Zig's camp, and, you know, he admitted this in his book. Now, he didn't go as far as I think Zig wanted to, but the book is called Talking to Strangers. Anyway, this comes up because I'm going to bring J.K. Rowling into the conversation as well. Malcolm Gladwell had some way, shape, or form defended biological men playing against biological women. And he's on a podcast. Fred, do you know the particulars?
I think it was in 2022. He hosted some sort of a forum about it.
Yeah.
He said he felt pressured.
So, but now he's apologizing for it. He says he was bullied, which is exactly what happens. And this is what happens on a regular basis.
If we did a replay of that exact panel at the Sloan Conference this coming March, it runs in exactly the opposite direction. And it would be, I suspect, near unanimity in the room that trans athletes have no place in the female category.
Well, you might be surprised about near unanimity in the room on anything on this issue.
I don't think there's any question. I just think it was a strange, the reason I'm ashamed of my performance at that panel because I share your position 100%, and I was cowed. The idea of saying anything on this issue, I was, in a, I believe in retrospect, in a dishonest way, I was objective in a dishonest way.
So yeah, he was bullied. Malcolm Gladwell, I mean, he's no small thinker, if you will, and now he is sorry for that. I asked Riley Gaines when I interviewed her the one time, I said, what is it? And we talk about this, Sue, all the time. Why can't, outside of anything else in the world of trans, why can't you at least admit the fairness issue when it comes to men against women? So he addresses this.
What the trans movement is not asking for, they're not asking for, you know, a place at the table. They're not asking for to be treated with respect and dignity. What they're asking is for no one to question the considerable physical, physiological advantage they bring to the sport, and no one to question if they're going to win these races by 5 seconds, suck it up. That's what they were asking.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He gets that right. Now, do you know who Chris Columbus is? Sue, you know who Chris Columbus is. He is a really good movie director and writer. He did, this is a movie I watched even a couple of years ago with my daughter. She liked it quite a bit, Adventures in Babysitting.
So
he
good.
Did Home Alone. I think he did the second one. He did Mrs. Doubtfire. He did the first two Harry Potter movies. So there's this kind of, and I don't know much about this, but there's this reboot of Harry Potter that's on HBO Max. And, you know, all of the woke people that were part of J.K. Rowling's world when it went to the screen from the books, they're just horribly offended by the fact that she has, you know, the position that men are different from women. So she's so good on some of this stuff, Sue. And I know
yes, she is, because she's
before.
So well spoken.
Well, so here's what she says. As another man who once worked with me declares himself saddened by my beliefs on gender and sex, I thought it might be useful to compile a list for handy reference. Which of the following, she's talking about Chris Columbus, which of the following do you imagine makes actors and directors who aren't involved with the HBO reboot of Harry Potter so miserable? And then she just starts kind of listing the issues. Is it my belief that women and girls should have their own public changing rooms and bathrooms? I mean, that is so controversial, right? Is it that women should retain female-only rape crisis centers? Is it that men don't belong in women's sports? That female prisoners shouldn't be incarcerated with violent men and male sex offenders? That women should remain a protected class in law because they have sex-specific needs and issues? Is it that language should reflect reality rather than ideological jargon, especially in a medical context? Is it that women shouldn't be harassed, persecuted, or fired for refusing to pretend humans can change sex? Is it that women should not be threatened with violence and rape when they assert their rights? That freedom of speech and belief are essential to a pluralistic democratic society? That troubled minors, this is one that is certainly a theme on this show, and it will be today with Lior Sapir, who's going to join us at 4:30, that troubled minors, especially those who are gay, autistic, and trauma experienced, should be given mental health support instead of irreversible surgeries and drug treatments on non-existent evidence of benefit. This next one is fascinating to me because I'm the only one that ever brings it up, except J.K. Rowling brought it up, and she said this. Is it that gay people shouldn't be pressured to include the opposite sex in their dating pools, nor should they be smeared as genital fetishists when they don't? So here's the deal on that, and I've explained this before. You're a gay man, right? You're attracted to men, and there is a biological female that now says that she's a man. If you are not attracted to that female, you are a transphobe in the alphabet mafia world. There are regular people who are, and I've said this before, I know this to be the case because many of them are friends of mine who are gay, and older gays in particular. They hate this trans crap. They hate it. I'm so glad that J.K. Rowling included that in her list because it's a real thing. And then she says that cross-dressing heterosexual male fetishists aren't actually oppressed but having the time of their lives piggybacking off gender identity ideology. That's a good point as well. That said ideology and the privileged blinkered fools pushing it because they suffer zero consequences themselves have done more damage to the political left's credibility than Trump and Farage could have achieved in a century. Let me have your thoughts. So well written. Great questions. I'd love for someone, I told Fred this earlier, it would really be nice if somebody came out just really forceful on this issue, someone of power in Hollywood. Chris Pratt has kind of, you know, dabbled around the edges of that, but not necessarily on the trans issue, just kind of on the Trump issue or the politics. But it's long past the time that J.K. Rowling is not the only big person in the field of entertainment to make statements like that. But I thought it was great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Well, Kristi Noem goes on Face the Nation. This is one of the things, you know, I don't think people know this, but it is not uncommon. I'll use Kilmeade as an example. So when he does his show that airs on Sunday nights, that is typically it's recorded. So, you know, because of the news cycle, sometimes Brian goes live. But the Sunday morning shows are, portions of them are recorded. So someone will come in on a Saturday afternoon, sit down with the host, and they'll do the interview. Then the interview airs the next morning, like live, but they do edit. So, for example, Kristi Noem goes on CBS talking about Kilmar Albrego Garcia. He's the Maryland father who's just, you know, an angel, has never done anything wrong in his life.
And the one thing that we will continue to do is to make sure that he doesn't walk free in the United States of America.
So that's what aired, but she said a little bit more about that.
This individual was a known human smuggler, a MS-13 gang member, an individual who was a wife beater, and someone who was so perverted that he solicited nude photos from minors, and even his fellow human traffickers told him to knock it off. He was so sick in what he was doing and how he was treating small children. So he needs to never be in the United States of America, and our administration is making sure we're doing all that we can to bring him to justice.
Yeah, more examples of journalistic malpractice. Now, we talk, unfortunately, about crime here in St. Louis quite a bit because we are a crime-ridden city, in downtown in particular. The guys over in Illinois, I mean, Dick Durbin's actually talking about this thing with the National Guard as being an invasion of Chicago, when most people in Chicago would love to have some, you know, protection. And I have some interesting audio along those lines in just a few minutes. John Merline, though, is with us. He's the publisher of Issues and Insights, a senior editor at the Heritage Foundation. Hey, John, how are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you wrote a column about the deadliest cities in the U.S. and how many of them have a Republican mayor. My guess would be zero. Some of them are in red states, like ours here with Kansas City and St. Louis being blue cities with blue mayors. We do have a red state. And by the way, in St. Louis, I don't know if you know this, Jen, but we kind of got involved in the legislature, and we actually have a police commission now that's going to oversee the St. Louis Police Department. We used to have that, and then we went to what was called local control. And guess what? Complete failure. So it didn't work, so we went back to having a police commission. But your point in your piece, and this was written by the editorial board, is, look, there's all these complaints out there by Dick Durbin and J.B. Pritzker and Brandon Johnson, and, you know, this crime stuff is real, and by the way, it's been happening for decades in the bluest cities.
Yeah, we've been hearing that, too. And so we were interested, though, in finding out, because Gavin Newsom was saying, hey, why don't you go into these red cities and these red states? And so we started to, we heard that, you know, a lot of these big cities in red states have been heavily Democratic for a long time. So we just started looking at the numbers. We went in and found out, we wanted to know, when was the last time these cities had a Republican mayor?
Right.
And we were shocked by what we found. I mean, New Orleans hasn't had a Republican mayor in 153 years. Atlanta hasn't had a Republican mayor in 146 years. Milwaukee's had three socialist mayors, but hasn't had a Republican mayor in 117 years. And these are all cities that are in the top 20 of the most deadliest cities measured as homicide rate, you know, homicides per 100,000 people.
Yeah,
we were dumbfounded.
You included St. Louis. So the last time, and I would have maybe guessed it was longer for St. Louis. The last time we had a Republican mayor here, I would not have, you know, been able to answer this correctly on Jeopardy, was 1949. So that's nothing compared to some of these other cities, right? They've had 100 years more of Democrat
unbelievable
mayors.
And,
yeah.
And then, so Shreveport was the only one in the top 20. And this is, you know, these lists vary which cities homicide rates measure differently, so forth. But Shreveport is one of them. And they have a Republican mayor. But what's interesting is they've had a Republican mayor 11 out of the last 152 years. So it's possible that they're finally wising up. As, for example, Dallas, the Dallas mayor is interesting because he was elected twice as a Democrat and then switched to become a Republican in 2023. And what he said is that the Democrats don't have answers to these problems than that Republicans do, which is interesting.
Well, and, you know, I would say this, and you mentioned Milwaukee. So I've lived in Milwaukee. I lived there for just more than 9 years, and I've been in St. Louis, back here in St. Louis, since 2006. When I left Milwaukee, there was a guy by the name of Tom Barrett. He became a congressman, and I knew Tom pretty well. He was the mayor. He was a sane guy, and I bring it up because we had a guy, Francis Slate, was sane. And both those guys I would put in the camp. Now, I think Tom kind of got a little bit too lefty when he went to Congress, but he... I might have reversed that, by the way. I think he was in Congress, and then he went on to be the mayor of Milwaukee. But my point is that these are two people I would hold up as examples of people that did care about crime in their cities, and they were Democrats.
Yeah.
But things have shifted so much in the last, certainly in the last 10 years. Maybe you can even put 2014 with Mike Brown here in St. Louis as a tipping point with that. We know what happened after George Floyd. So now,
right,
even if you have, and like on our board of aldermen here in St. Louis, we have a handful of people who are not crazy. Right? A handful. But the president of the Board of Aldermen is a loopy lefty, anti-cop, you know, defund the police. The mayor, our new mayor, is a progressive, not as much defund the police. I think she's learned some lessons. But, you know, when you're talking about some of these mayors, they're not only Democrats, they are socialists to a certain extent, certainly way on the progressive side.
Well, I think what's interesting about what President Trump is doing is, and I'm not saying I'm in favor of it or not, but the practical effect, I think, is getting people to realize that it doesn't have to be this way. We don't have to live in fear of our lives just because we want to live in a city. We're actually writing a follow-up piece to that one on how many Democratic mayors are in the safest cities in the country.
I can't wait to hear that one.
So, what's interesting about that is that, yeah, a lot of these are smaller cities, but some of the most deadly cities in the country are small cities. And, you know, you look at San Diego, 1.4 million people, it has a homicide rate that's like a third of Los Angeles. It's only 2 hours away. It's in the same state, but they have a dramatically different crime scene in San Diego. And it just so happens that San Diego has had a much more bipartisan approach, shall you say. I mean, they've had Republican and Democratic mayors over the past, you know, few decades. I think the issue for me is accountability. It's like, why do people keep putting up with this situation? And I believe that, well, first, I think Democrats just in a lot of these cities just have a hammer lock on them, and doesn't matter what people want.
Right.
The Democrats, the party leaders just keep getting elected by hook or by crook. But I do think that it is up to voters to say, we've had enough. We don't care what your party is. We want these problems solved. And as I say, I think what Trump is showing is that they can be if you take decisive action. In D.C., suddenly there was like no murders in D.C. Like, oh, my gosh, how could that possibly happen?
Wow.
And
have law enforcement show up. Look what happens. It's a miracle. Even Mayor Bowser had to admit that. For sure.
Right.
So, look, it's a great issue, and unfortunately, it's a great issue for St. Louis because we have some of these problems with only a population in the city of about 350,000 people because we've dwindled so much. John, thank you so much for jumping on here with me this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Sure. My pleasure.
I wanted to play this bit of audio from Chicago. This is a guy that runs a pub, an Irish pub in the city of Chicago. And these are the stories, you know, when Pritzker's out there and Dick Durbin's out there calling it an invasion, and Brandon Johnson, who has to be one of the biggest idiots in the country as mayor. Tashara was right up there with him, but of course we booted her. But listen to the issues that he has and his employees have.
Yeah, we've had a lot of gun violence. We've had guys with AK-47s shooting right outside the pub. We've had the pub robbed. My wife and myself have been shot at. Both my vehicles have gun holes in them. The bar was robbed at gunpoint with free arms assailants come in, robbed the customers, robbed the bar. We've had gangbangers crash into the building. We've had the bar robbed. My staff have been assaulted. I've been assaulted. We've been mugged three times. We have it's just never ending.
How do you stay? Well, first of all, how do you stay alive? How do you stay in business? People want help.
Crime is everywhere. But I think it's just where we are in the city of Chicago, the rate is just a little bit out of control. So whatever measures might help.
I think at this point, man, trying something because nothing's working. So if this works and it helps, I mean, why not cooperate?
Those are black people who live in Chicago who have had enough.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City, I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere. I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
Well, I have a fun topic that I will toss out to the gang after 4 o'clock, so I think you'll like this one. This has to do with someone who had a bad experience with a passenger on an airplane, and that passenger was under the age of 5. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, I bet.
And then Lior Sapir is going to be with us. I love Lior. He's been a guest before, and he wrote, this kind of ties into some of the gender stuff we were talking about, because he wrote about the broken chain of trust in pediatric gender medicine. We know that well here in St. Louis because of Jamie Reed, but you know, like the people who lead the AMA, the American Medical Association, and some of these so-called experts, they're still on board with this nonsense. Lior is exposing it. That's coming up after Sue's News this afternoon. We love Chris Clem, former Yuma Sector Border Patrol Chief. He's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour, as is Peter Zane, who is an editor at Real Clear Investigations, plus an audio cut of the day. Fred's already got the lineup set for the roundtable on Friday. Jane will be here, Ed Rohde on her side, and the mayor of Eureka, Sean Flower. We also have tomorrow Congressman Jason Smith. He of the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, and they're kind of remarketing the Big Beautiful Bill. So that's one of the things that we'll talk about with Congressman Smith tomorrow. Right now, it's Scott Faughn, the host of This Week in Missouri, a big Jefferson City insider. How are you, Mr. Faughn? Welcome back to the show.
Doing very well. It's very beautiful today here in the state capitol.
It is the start of this special session, right? And one of the stories that came out today, I want you to explain this a little bit, because the headline made me think maybe that this was heading in another direction, but I think it's just procedural. So the headline in our local paper says, Kehoe withdraws his 5 St. Louis board picks as special session nears. Now, he had to pull back the names, because if he didn't do that, you correct me if I'm wrong, because of the session, they would have to deal with the appointments during this period here in the next couple of weeks. Is that what that was all about?
I think that was your local paper desperately wanting to keep local control, which has been a total failure, in line and make Kehoe look bad. This is totally procedural. He'll have to pull back every nominee he's done for every board. That happens every veto session, especially with a special session. There's some ambiguity on regular veto, but usually they just pull everybody back and put them back on. They'll all be placed back on. Anyone the governor wants on will be back on when special session's over with, which looks like it's going to be pretty quick. So unfortunately for those that were very thrilled and want the continued war zone to continue in downtown St. Louis, this is only a momentary reprieve.
What do you make of what's going on? Look, you're a fan of Mike Kehoe. I'm a fan of Mike Kehoe. He pulls people
Absolutely.
Back in order to do a couple of different things. Now, my least favorite topic in all of media history has to be initiative petition reform, just because I think people's eyes glaze over. That's one of the topics, though, that they're going to, you know, have on the table. And then on the redistricting, Faughn, is it something I'm seeing that even some, I don't know if this is true, but some Republicans in the Senate are saying we're not quite comfortable with this. Maybe start by explaining what they're doing here, and is it appropriate to do the redrawing of the lines when we're, you know, not 10 years away from the next census or whatever it would be now, 5 years away?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, appropriateness, it's like some folks might call me fat. My mom called me big boned, kind of in the eye of the beholder. Is it shoddy? Is it purely for partisan? This was not drawn by any Missourians. No Missourians had input in this. This was drawn by Washington, D.C. and sent here for not to benefit one single person in the state. It's strictly for Republican partisan advantage. Now, you can think that's bad or good, depending on probably what your partisan breakdown is. I don't think it's a very good thing. I think it's a pretty bad look. I interviewed Congressman Cleaver today, and I asked him, I was like, well, okay, this is shoddy. No one's proud. The suburban Republicans are proud. They're kind of for any off-the-wall thing. But your most folks are not proud of this. However, the very real reason that I think Kehoe agreed to do this is, one, you know, Donald Trump is hard to say no to.
Yes.
And nobody in the Republican Party does. But number two, you know, you look across the river in Illinois. Look at that ridiculous, corrupt, partisan, gerrymandered, out the wazoo map. I'm sorry. The map they're going to pass next week into law is not nearly as corrupt as that.
Well,
I
know.
I watch Barack Obama.
Yeah, I go back to that Illinois map too. You look at that one district you're talking about, which kind of cuts through the middle of the state, Champaign. It looks like what you would normally see on a radar if there is a line of thunderstorms that are coming in, right? And so that's where I'm uncomfortable, because my gut tells me I'm uncomfortable that they're doing this again so quickly. And maybe this is not good rationale or, consistent with not being hypocritical. But when you look at Illinois, you look at some of these other states and the way that they've been gerrymandered, you think to yourself, well, you got to take advantage of the power when you have it. But I'm still a little uncomfortable with it. Is it your sense, though, because of the numbers, and even if you have a couple of Republicans on the Senate side that are uneasy about it, that they're still going to get it done, right?
Oh, they're going to do it. It'll be done in very short order. There won't be even a lot of discussion. I mean, they'll give the Democrats 6 or 8 hours to talk about it and complain, and I get it. But here's my thing. I saw a tweet from Barack Obama, and I'm so sick of the democracy stuff. It just, no one cares. I mean, when you've lost, you've lost. But Barack Obama said this was a threat to democracy, and I'm like, your home state is the most corrupt. The retirement plan for governors is prison. I mean, they drew the most corrupt map ever, and I don't remember Barack Obama saying that's a threat to democracy. So I'm sorry, this whole democracy thing, I'm tired of it, and I don't think any regular person buys it. This is not good democracy, but it's not a threat to democracy. And if it was, what is Illinois but a full-throated attack on democracy? But I didn't hear any of the liberals whining about that.
If we're being honest, most people, and even a fair amount of people who are listening right now, this is kind of in the weeds for them. They, maybe they're a little confused when they go to vote the next time because there's another member of Congress that might be on the ballot. I'm always struggling to find out how much, people, most people, let's face it, most people don't know who their state reps are, their senators. They're not really dialed into that.
So, in a rural area, but certainly not in the cities.
Right.
The lines are too dragging. I'll give you a prediction, Mark. I think the courts will uphold this map. And I also think not one Republican will face any pushback from the voters over doing this. Is this shoddy and bad? Is Cleaver really a good man? If you want the truth, yes. Is this probably beneath Mike Kehoe? Probably. But no voter is going to care. They're just not going to care.
Yeah, I don't think they will either. Yeah, I think you're right about that. On the initiative petition reform, which they've been trying for years, I just want them to get something done so we don't have to hear about it anymore.
Well, I'm sorry to say that even if they pass something next week, this has to go to a vote of the people. This is one of the maps. They're just going to change the maps. That's going to be the new map. And they'll bring in Hatfield, and Chuck is a great lawyer, and he very well may overturn it. I doubt it, but maybe he does in the federal courts. But this whole thing with initiative petition reform, this is not the end. This isn't even the end of the beginning. It has to go to a vote of the public, and I'm sorry. I'm very pessimistic that the people of this state are going to vote to make it harder for them to change the Constitution. I think we need it. I think it's a terrible system we have. I just think the public is going to keep the one they got because it gives them more power.
Well, one of the reasons, though, I would maybe take it in a different direction. I think it's just a confusing issue, and people don't really understand it. I've talked about it for several years now, and I'm not saying I don't understand it. I'm saying I don't really want to hear about it anymore. I do think that, and I've been, I've said this on the record before. Dude, I've had issues with this stupid process since the mid-1980s, and I've been critical of it. But the way to change it, is complicated because you do have to send it to a vote. I don't know which I favor. I do think that the threshold should be more than just a simple majority. I don't know if that means 60%. Other states have gone to 60%. But I also wonder if people, when it does land on the ballot, will they even know really what they're voting for?
Well, I will tell you this. This is where being a simple hillbilly comes in handy. I would rather be the person who has the easiest time explaining my argument, who can say it in the fewest words. Mm-hmm. It takes a while to explain the argument to change the system. The argument to keep the system is the voters have more power.
Pretty
You're
simple.
Taking their power away.
Right.
I'd like to be on the side of the simple.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to put it, and maybe that's where this ends up. You are often very vocal online about the St. Louis Cardinals. While I have you here.
Oh, depressing. Good Lord. I didn't know there was an eighth circle of hell, but we found it.
Fred and I talk about it all the time because I love baseball. I depend on it for my entertainment. I can't do it anymore. I've reached that point in the season where, I've lost hope. And I just, you know, this whole thing with the Cardinals, Fawn, it's not, we knew this a year ago, it was going to be several years, but now it seems like we've kicked the can. It's going to be, when's the next time we compete? The next presidential race? Is that the next time we have a team that can compete?
No, I'm going to tell you, it seemed dark in 95. It seemed, I actually got so disgusted. I took Gussie to the game Monday. What a depressing sight that was. But I remember, I went on the way home, I rewatched the press conference when Walt Jocketty brought Tony La Russa in, and everything changed immediately. And maybe, I don't think we'll be in the World Series next year, but we go get our next Whitey Herzog, our next Tony La Russa with the Heim Bloom. And look, whether we like him or not, I'm here to give him a chance because he's all we got. So we have a new system running things. Look, this is tired. This is a failure. This is beyond a failure.
Well, but
fire everybody.
There doesn't seem to be there doesn't seem to be an indication they're going to fire Marmol. And a lot of people
then
like him.
Then this will suck again.
Okay, well, I mean.
I'd say who likes him. Media people like him because he returns their text messages and does their shows. There's no fans that like him. Trust me.
I'm indifferent.
Monday.
Yeah.
No one likes him.
Yeah.
It's been half a decade. Look, son, you had to tell him, say, look, son, I'm sorry. You had half a decade, and maybe it's not your fault, but you didn't do anything to make it better. Time to move on. This isn't the Pirates.
Okay. Well, there you go.
It used to not be the Pirates. Pretty much is now.
I knew I'd be able to elicit some response out of you, and there we go. Scott Fawn, awesome to have you on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, we'll see you. So I think you'd agree that we've on this show talked a lot about why it's so difficult to get cell phones out of, you know, classes. And now we have a state law in Missouri. You have in L.A. in their district. I mean, Texas, I think it's the entire state. Every public and charter school student will be without their phones during the day this fall, which is a good thing. And why it took that long, I have no idea. But it also, you know, if you've been tracking any of this in the last couple of weeks, it's working. It's actually working really, really well. And I love Jonathan Haidt is a guy that I've never had on the air, which I'm disappointed by because he wrote a book about all this stuff. I actually bought it because I thought it was important. And, you know, my daughter is 10 years old. My kids who are in their 20s right now, you know, I've admitted this in the past, I think they were around 12 years old when they got phones. Now, you might even say that that's too young. I was in a situation with my divorce where I wanted to communicate with the kids a little bit more. Was that a good move back then? I don't know.
Yeah.
So Jonathan wrote this book called The Anxious Generation, and he really studies the damage that iPhones and iPads and all these electronics that we let our kids, you know, use, how it's damaging their development overall and how it affects the friend groups. And none of this is positive, by the way. But when it comes to the policy of no cell phones in schools, thankfully, that's kind of catching fire.
Republicans have children. Democrats have children. Legislators and governors, they all have children. We all saw it. We all can see what these phones are doing to our kids, in part because we see what it's doing to us. We can't pay attention when we're distracted by
good
all
point.
The interruptions
yep.
and social media and all that. So it's insane to think that we ever let kids have these devices in school. And so, yeah, I agree. Like, everybody could see it. And when my book came out, The Anxious Generation, it kind of provided a way for everyone to come together and say, oh, yeah, this is what we do. Let's just start by taking the phones out of school. And it's happening at lightning speed. It's really thrilling to watch.
I'm one of those people, and I don't know about you, Sue, but unfortunately, I have the phone with me at all times. I can't help look at it at all times. And I wish I could be that person that doesn't. I will say this, though. When I was, you know, over the summer out on the mental health leave of absence, I had to put it away. So I went for long, because it just, my brain wasn't functioning in a way where I could absorb the content effectively,
that's
if you
fair.
Will. So where usually if I'm watching streaming a show or something like that, if I'm on the couch, I'd have my phone right next to me. I had hours long stretches where I just didn't even
good.
Look at the phone. And that was actually somewhat
yeah.
refreshing. I wish I can go back to it. But when it comes to kids, here's Jonathan.
You have to push back against what's called the phone-based childhood. You and I had a play-based childhood. We all had play-based childhoods until very recently. And now our kids, we give them phones and iPads when they're toddlers. And once you give it to them, it's always going to be more interesting interesting than everything else. So what I've proposed is four norms for pushing back the phone-based childhood. And it's the first, no smartphone before high school. Do not give your child a smartphone as their first phone. Do not give one before high school. Give a landline. They're actually, landlines are coming back. Give a basic phone.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
That's interesting.
Give your kid a landline and tell them to deal with that and see how they react, right?
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
The second is no social media until 16, because this is the worst thing that they do on the phone, especially for girls.
Agreed.
So do not let them have Instagram or Snapchat or any of those until 16. And the third turns out to be the easiest. It's phone-free schools. Because the teachers hated the phones, and once they had some support from parents, boom, phones are going out, and the results are spectacular. And the final norm is if we're going to take away the phones and not let our kids grow up 10 hours a day on their phones, we have to let them play with each other outside. We have to give them back the independence that kids have always had. That's what they need to become healthy adults.
We all talk about this, and we all seem so old, but honestly, when we were kids, mom and dad would say, well, dad would be working for the most part. My mom worked sometimes, but you know, when I was little, like, get the hell out of the house, go play,
yes,
come back at lunchtime and at dinner time. I'm so frustrated because we, you know, my daughter's an only child, and because of that, you want her to have friends over and to have a play group, et cetera. And there was a situation a couple of weeks ago where she was hanging out at the pool all day, and then one of her friends came back and they were complaining that they had nothing to do. I'm like, go outside and figure out something to do. Stay off your phone, stay off your iPad. But we all managed to do it quite effectively.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. When she's got her bike, and she does that sometimes. But to Jonathan Haidt's, you know, point, we've become, and this, we've done this as parents, unfortunately, because it's the easy way out to give the phone to a kid. But you have to have some guidance, I think, after that. And this whole thing, I kind of wish it would have become one of the issues in the presidential race that, you know, Trump or some of the other candidates would talk about, because it doesn't seem like politicians talk about that issue.
Yeah.
You know, it gets boiled down to local districts, et cetera. But Jonathan's book is very important. It's called The Anxious Generation. You should buy a copy.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.